Praise God. Well, we want to continue, as we have for the last several weeks, to talk about removing veils in our lives, being aware that there are veils in the lives of individuals that we have to minister to, encourage, being able to have spiritual discernment so that we can recognize veils that might be in certain individuals' lives that we are ministering to, so that we can correctly help them to pull down those strongholds. Isn't that what the Word tells us to do? Yes. Having authority in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the ability to pull down every stronghold, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we found out in the Scripture that it's grace is actually multiplied to us through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we found out that that just isn't a general knowledge of God, but that is the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ that specifically addresses itself to what Paul said when he said, I've refrained or held not back any of the knowledge that God has given me concerning you or that he wishes you to have in regard to his blessing on your life and what he's provided through Jesus Christ. He said, I didn't hold back I wanted to give everything that I had to you, basically is what he said. I wanted to give you all of the knowledge, every ounce of it regarding the blessing that God has brought upon your life through the saving knowledge of Jesus. I want to give it all to you. Amen? Amen. Now, there's things that hinder that. There's things in your own life and mine that can hinder us from receiving that knowledge. And we have to be aware of that, don't we? Yes. Amen? And as we minister to others, we got to be aware of it so that we can properly minister to them and help them to get past what might be hindering them from receiving what God has provided. Amen. So it's not only important for us, but it's important for our destiny and ministry to others as well. Now, the last time we were together, we were in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We won't go back to Hebrews chapter 10 but if you want to go back to Hebrews chapter 10 and just read a little bit in your own time, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, throughout the rest of the chapter, and it gives you a good background for this whole line of messages having to do with pulling down veils in our lives. But today we're going to continue where we left off the last time, and that's Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Romans chapter 8, 17. In this glorious chapter, we found that there is no condemnation on those who that are in Christ Jesus. No, not a single one. Condemnation. None that comes from God at all. At all. Not the slightest bit. In other words, it gives us a true picture of God's view of us through the finished work of Christ. Now, that's the work of Christ that you and I have accepted because we're born again Christians. That's what we've accepted. Now, the problem with a lot of believers is that we don't know all that we have accepted. We haven't come to grasp all that God has done. And until the time that we get full knowledge of that, we have to deal with some things that we kind of inertly or subconsciously believe, not having clear understanding of how we came across that. Not having really clear understanding as to how we came up with that kind of belief. But we adapted it somewhere along the lines. We accepted it somewhere in our lives. Amen? Now that's until we fully begin to understand the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning us in our salvation experience, God's eternal plan for us in our salvation experience. Amen. Hallelujah. So there's no condemnation from God. Not the slightest bit. Why? Because in his knowledge, in his foreknowledge, in everything in him that he knows that Christ has done, which was his intention to start with, fully his intention for Christ to go the distance and fulfill all of his will so that we could have a full redemption and full salvation. In his knowledge of that, and he sees us through what Christ has completed, what he has done for us. He sees us that way. So it's not even possible. It's not even possible for God to look at you with condemnation. Woo! Glory to God. Not even, he didn't even have the ability to do it. Now, you know, you can think of God in all of his ability, right? And that's the way we like to look at it. Now, this is kind of a, looking at him from the side now. He is incapable in some areas. But not like you think and I think. Because we like to think of God as being all-powerful. Well, then being all-powerful, a part of being all-powerful is making yourself incapable of seeing your children with a condemning spirit. Woo, glory to God. He has not got the ability to look at you with condemnation. He doesn't even have that ability because he's God. And he placed himself in that place. And nobody else could do that but him. Nobody. Because there's nobody greater.
Amen.
Nobody greater than Yah. I'm so glad he looks at me like that.
Amen.
That just makes my day. I can only live one at a time, so it just makes my day. Glory to God. So you see, he cannot have you in mind in any way other than in all that Christ has done. That's the only way he can have you in mind. It's the only way he can have you in mind is to see you complete. Well, why wouldn't he? Because if we endure, if we hold fast and do all of those instructional things in the scripture, that's exactly what will be fulfilled in our lives. And why should he look at us in any other way when he knows that his stuff works? I mean, it works. It's like an Alka-Seltzer. You put it in the water and it's going to bubble. Have you put one in the water yet and it didn't bubble? I have never, ever put an Alka-Seltzer in the water and it didn't fizzle and sizzle and bubble. Every one of those things, whether they're doing anything in me or not, they bubble. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says, "And if we are his children, then we are heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory." Now we'll deal with that latter part of that in just a moment. But if I'm a joint heir with Jesus, if I am inheriting what he inherited, I need to know what that is. Don't you want to recognize your inheritance? See, if you don't recognize some things, you won't lay hold of it. You won't claim it. So you've got to recognize that inheritance. See? And Jesus' inheritance is all wrapped up in you and me. And our inheritance is all wrapped up in him. It's one and the same. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What was it that Jesus inherited? Jesus inherited, for one thing, the lordship over God's people. Amen. Remember, there's coming a day when we all will be seated with him in glory at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he will be crowned. You better get your tux ready. Come on, gentlemen, you better get your tux ready. Get your shoes shined. Ladies, you better get that nightgown. Evening dress. You better get that evening dress ready. That special dress, special clothing. Get it ready, because we're all going to be dressed up. We're going to the biggest party that the universe has ever seen. Do you like the 4th of July? I like the 4th of July. I like to see the fireworks. Can you imagine the fireworks that's going to go on in the universe when he's crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords? All of those inactive dead planets out there going to come alive and start glowing and blowing up. It's just going to be one awesome time. Woo! We're going to look up and we're just going to see glory and fireworks everywhere. Amen. Can't wait. That's one day I'm looking forward to. The marriage supper of the Lamb. As much as I like to eat, I'm telling you, you're going to have a meal that day. It's going to be out of this world, because it's going to be in him, in glory. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate what God has accomplished in him. And we will sit there with him as joint heirs. As joint heirs. You won't feel like you just lucked up and made it in. You won't feel like you're just a guest. You're going to be a son and a daughter sitting in the presence of Almighty God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You're supposed to be there. Yes. And you will have on a wedding garment. Amen. Be no casting out of you there. You will have on a wedding garment. Hallelujah. So, we have to recognize what it is that Jesus has inherited, because it's what Jesus inherited that you and I have inherited. We are joint heirs with him. With him. Our inheritance will not be different from what he has inherited. Heirs of God and with Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now that should give you a clue right there. Heirs of God. So what we're going to be enjoying is what is really the essence of God throughout of all eternity. We will be enjoying the very essence of God. Whew. It's one thing to know somebody and to love them, you know? Our love down here is a miraculous thing. Because, I love my wife. My wife loves me. But we're flawed individuals because we were born in sin, even though we've been delivered from sin. And we're Christians now. But we were born in sin. And so there's things in our nature, things in our soul, things in our body that are flawed. But the love that God gives us for one another that makes us one looks beyond our fault. In one another. Amen. And we're able to live together in harmony, in peace, and in love, and in joy, and even have fun beyond our faults. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so we have to look past our weaknesses to enjoy the essence of each other that we were attracted to. We have to keep going to that in order for our marriage to be solidified and to be strong. We have to keep going to that. Because on the journey, you have opportunities to see the flawed part. Amen? So that makes this love on earth a miracle. And how much more so in Christ. Amen? This really the only way it works is in Christ. Amen. That's really the only way it works. But when we're there, hallelujah, death would have been conquered. Sin would have been eradicated completely in spirit, soul, and body. You'll have a new glorified body that has no sin in it, no flaws. For when we see him, we shall be as he is. Hallelujah. And what we'll draw on in that moment is the very essence of God. You see, you can't put the very essence of God in an old wineskin. Hallelujah. The anointing is what keeps this old wineskin capable of carrying what we carry now. Hallelujah. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. But when we get in the presence of God in that day, in that hour, in that time, we will have received a new, glorified, immortal body that has not even a trace of sin in it. Glory to God. And we'll be able to breathe in the pure, holy essence of Almighty God without limits throughout all of eternity. That's your inheritance. Hallelujah. Co-heir with Jesus. Joint heir with Jesus. Co-inheritor of the very essence of God. Forever and ever and ever and ever. And you can just go on infinitum. Amen? Awesome. Now, that has to be said because of the latter part of the scripture, because it says if we are to share in his glory, right? We must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. Now, wait a minute. It's his suffering. It's his suffering. So sometimes when you're going through some stuff, you should ask the Lord, is this your suffering? Because if it ain't, we're going to get rid of this. If this is not your suffering, we ain't putting up with this. Amen. Amen now, come on. Now, don't be so spiritual that you think that you know whether it's the suffering of God every time you go through something. You have to have discernment. And looks like to me, based on what we're learning, you better know what the scripture says in order for you to properly discern whether or not this is of God or not. You better base it on the scripture and not on your feelings. Because there's some stuff God did not want you and I to put up with. Now, that's just the way he feels about it. He doesn't want you to put up with some stuff. It's not in his salvation package for you. And you're supposed to put a stop to. Now, when it's time to suffer with him and for him, then you just raise your hands and take it on gladly and say, thank you, Lord, that you counted me worthy to suffer with my Christ. Because that's an honor for him to choose us in that manner. But if it's not of God, according to the scripture, you should not put up with it. Amen. With every ounce of resistance in you, with all the word that you know, you should take a stand against it because it is not of God. It's like sickness. The Bible says that sickness is evil. It's evil when you translate it. And so you're supposed to do everything that you can to overcome it. Take a stand against it. And there's other things that so many believers today, because of veiled areas of their lives, they allow to go on in their hearts and their lives because of misinterpretation of the scripture, and because of religious beliefs that are based on tradition in their denomination or their group that is not really based in the Word. Just like the Jews, the elders handed down rules back in the Old Covenant. There are rules and there are traditions in the church today that have been handed down one generation to the next, and they're not productive. They're counterproductive, actually, to what God wants to do in our lives. And they have to be recognized. And you know what? A lot of this stuff is just not going to be dealt with by somebody with a fancy message. We have to accept this revelation and then allow the Holy Spirit to go to work to bring us to that place where we can see what we're doing to ourselves. Right? The scripture talks about loving the truth. You love the truth enough to get rid of your sacred cows? Do you love the truth enough to get rid of your pet peeves? Huh? Do you love the truth enough to step back from even what grandma and grandpa taught you? Do you love the truth enough to let Jesus be Lord and not some family member? You see, loving the truth will separate you from your very friends. It sure will. It'll separate you from your very friends. Loving the truth. Because that's a sanctification process where the Lord Himself is drawing you away from everything else to Him for His own purpose. When this begins to happen, you know that God has something specific in mind. Amen. So we have to pray about this thing about suffering, sharing in Christ's suffering, because Christ suffered in a specific way. You cannot find in the scripture one time where Jesus was sick. Now, he was true man and God. So you can't tell me he didn't have an opportunity to be sick. You can't tell me he didn't. He did. If he was tried and tested and tempted in all manner such as we, then that means that he had an opportunity to put up with everything that you have ever put up with in your life. That you don't have any ailment or any affliction or anything, any malady in the human experience that Jesus wasn't tempted to allow in his life. But the Bible said he overcame. Oh, it's because he was God that he wasn't sick. How can God be sick? Now, wait a minute. He was a man as well. And if he was tempted in those areas, then that means that it was very possible that he could have been sick. He could have been under the weather with the flu on the day that blind Bartimaeus was supposed to have been healed in his vision, and having Peter and James and John bring him hot honey and lemon tea because he couldn't breathe because of the sinus problem, just running like crazy. He could have been. Now see, if you don't stop and think about it, you don't appreciate it. But he could have been. He could have been suffering in the bed like you have with a migraine, pulling the covers over his head, trying to find some relief. He could have been. He could have been down in his back, right? From walking so much over those hills in Galilee, trying to get from one place of ministry to another. Could have come down with arthritis. How would you like to walk around in sandals all the time? You won't dare get out and walk like that unless you got your Nikes on. I'm talking sandals, brother. Why do you think that they washed each other's feet when they went into a person's house? Because they're walking down dusty roads and getting dirt and sand all up between their toes. And it was a really hospitable, nice gesture if you're going to go somewhere to visit somebody, to sit down and for them to provide you with something to wash your feet so that you could be comfortable. Right? Could have had arthritis, bunions, all kinds of things. But the Bible says that he overcame. He didn't allow it. Right? Now, so you and I don't have to allow some things.
Amen.
I said you and I don't have to allow some things. So it's our responsibility to do everything in our power against anything that tries to afflict us. And we are absolutely in the right and doing what God is pleased with when we fight the good fight of faith using His word and standing against it, using whatever He gives us to stand against it with. That is not suffering with Jesus. Jesus overcame. Jesus overcame. He stood the test and He passed. Right? Now, we also learned the last time that we were together that what else did we do? In our bodies, what did we do? We condemn sin. We do it. We condemn sin in our own bodies. That's what Jesus came to do, to condemn sin in the flesh. And He's living in us. If He's living in us, why wouldn't He be condemning sin then in our flesh? Just hold on. I know you want to run. Just hang on a second. Let's finish this. This is exciting. I mean, my God, look at the power and look at the grace and the ability that God has given us. And so many of us, because we've got a veil in our lives and can't see it, are walking around looking for somebody, please help me. Somebody, please touch me. Somebody, please pray for me. Nothing wrong with that. We're supposed to lift up people, right? We're supposed to put up with the scruples of individuals in the body of Christ, help the weak, minister to them, build them up, edification until we all come into the oneness in Christ. Nothing wrong with that. But a part of building each other up is acknowledging the truth and speaking the truth in love. And it's sobering truth. That you and I have the ability to do these things. It's sobering truth. And I say it's sobering because we just don't realize how God-like we are. Did you hear what I just said? We don't realize just how God-like we are. We don't do it. We don't realize it. We see ourselves so far below that. See? God even considers us to be in position above the angels, but we can't see it. Huh? We can't even see it. Angels are not created in the image of God. We are. Angels don't have our inheritance. They don't have our position. They won't be seated in glory like we will be. Hallelujah. They're ministering spirits that have been sent by God to work in our, and they've been working for you whether you recognize it or not. The way some of you drive, and the way some of you text, and the way some of you talk on the phone, you better believe they're working for you. Or you wouldn't be here this morning.
Amen.
Yes, sir. They're working. Thank you, Jesus. Most of the time, we're about trying to kill ourselves, and the angels just keeping us alive with our silly actions. Yes, sir, they're out there and they're working for you. They're working for you. They don't ever leave the job. They're always with you. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, verse 18 says, but what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. See, that's what I need to meditate on, not the suffering itself. I need to be thinking about the glory. Huh? It's about to be revealed to you. It's about to be revealed in you. It's about to be revealed so that you can see it's for you. And it's about to be conferred on you. Good Lord. That's a lot to think about. There's a lot of revelation there that we haven't received. What's the purpose of the glory? To shine you up, make you glow? Huh? Are you a piece of leather that needs polish? What's the purpose of the glory? Well, see, now, again, we don't realize how God-like we are. Glory is a part of the essence of God. It wouldn't be glory if it wasn't a part of the essence of God. Wouldn't even be glory. It's because of who God is that there is such a thing as glory. And he just said to you right there, because you're God-like, it's going to be conferred on you, in you, it's for you, and you're just about to get it. You're just about to get it, because Jesus is coming soon, sooner than you expect. Yes, he is. Amen. In your case, it might be sooner than that, depending on how much fried chicken you're eating, how many sugary drinks you're drinking. Come on, stuff you can't get over if you think you God-like person who think you can't get over nothing. You God-like person that think ain't none of it hurting me. I'm young. I just heard about somebody's in their 40s just died the other day. 40s. Yeah, some of you heard about it. It's just terrible, you know? But when you start out young doing all the wrong things and putting all the wrong things in your body, you know, after a while, it catches up with you. Right? And the stuff that they're making out there today is so full of... Haven't you heard the reports about arsenic being in so much of your food recently? Have you heard that? Arsenic! We live in a death society. A culture of death. And why would they take something that's of death to put in your food to try to preserve it? Because arsenic has the ability to preserve stuff, but it's preserving you to death. Oh, Jesus. Man, we don't care. We just like it. We just like the taste. We just like, I don't care. Something's going to get you. Just might as well go ahead and have you a good cup of arsenic while you're at it. Oh, Lord. Aren't you glad that Peter said, pray over your food with faith and receive it with thanksgiving? He had more revelation than he knew about. He was talking about this generation more than his, because they was eating right. But he talking about us. Come on. There's more in those French fries than you realize. Come on. Maybe this is a part of your suffering with Christ. Hallelujah. Now, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. You think, well, if I live like Jesus, the only thing I can eat is fish. Well, if there was a rooster that crowed on the day that Peter denied Jesus three times, there had to be some chickens around. So you can eat chicken. You just can't even see chickens in the Bible, even though that rooster is crowing three. You can't even see chickens. Veils of religion. Why you think Chick-fil-A is doing so good? They got a revelation. That's a Christian business. Glory to God. They got a revelation. That was chickens in the Bible. Amen. So roast it, bake it, grill it. Glory to God. We might have some nuggets at the Last Supper of the Lamb. Ain't no telling what we're going to have up there. It's going to be good. Olive oil. We're going to bake it in, we're going to deep fry it in olive oil. No? No? Veil of religion. We're not going to deep fry anything. Everything, you know, when you really get down to it, fried stuff really comes from hell. Somebody's getting some deliverance right now, right now, right now. I'm not looking that way because I just don't want to. I don't want to inflict too much pain on you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We better move on. But what of it? I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worthy of being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. For, verse 19, for even the whole creation, all nature, waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known. Waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. Well, you could translate that, their godlikeness. Waiting for us to see how like God we are. Glory. This calls for revelation. This calls for things, unveilings. That's what it calls for. See? Now the Holy Spirit can do this if we let it. See? He's the one that's directing our church services, and he's the one that's in charge of the direction that the church is going, and he's the one that's out there with his trumpet that's allowing these little glimmers of truth to come out so that you can catch him. He's the one that's behind it so that you can catch him. Because if you catch him and take them with you, he's with you. And now he's like, okay, now we're going to study this. I'm going to lead you into all truth concerning this. I'm going to teach you concerning this. When you catch it, then he's got something to work with. Now, there's some people that will never see a lot of this stuff. They won't. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Because they won't submit to godly teaching. They just won't submit to it. And they love tradition and religion. There are people, really, this morning that are in church because they love religion, not because they love the Lord. They love religion. And it's sad because God has so much that he's provided for us and given us that he wants us to enjoy. And that's one of the reasons why he set himself to only see us through Christ. Have you ever thought about God in this manner, that if he hadn't done that, that it would be too much of a burden for him to bear? Because, you know, the majority is still lost. And a large majority that are born again are living like the lost. Did you hear me?
Yes.
See? And then there's a large percentage of us that have some truth that are in presumption. In presumption, which disallows discernment. So we just never see the need and we just live our lives to ourselves. We just live our lives to ourselves. And it's all about me. And I can only be concerned about what God can do for me. See, that's where there has to be a development of God's love in us. Because God's love is like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God saw the need and he gave the very best he could give to meet the need. That's the way the love of God works. Love of God doesn't work in selfishness. He was thinking about us because Jesus didn't need salvation and neither did God. But we did. And he loved us before he created us. And loved us after he created us with full knowledge that he would have to give himself away in order to save us. Dear God. Man, could you create something like that, that you knew that you would have to give away your daughter in order for what you created to be won, to be saved, and to be brought back to you? And that would cause them to be a love to be cultured and created in them so that you created would actually love you with all its heart. You created it because you loved it, but you'd have to give your daughter be a sacrifice in order for that that you created to have cultured and created within it a love for you like you loved it in the beginning when you created it. That, I can't even see myself doing that. I don't see myself with that ability. That's what makes him God. Right? Now we have that love in us. We really do. We have that love in us. And by degrees, that love is being developed in us if we allow it. If we allow it. Again, you know, you cannot even receive this. You can't apply this except by faith. That principle of faith, faith comes by hearing, hearing by everything that has been said of God in the gospel. And you can't work this without faith. You have to use faith. You have to accept this by faith and then apply it by faith. If you try to feel this, another feeling will come along to trump your feeling. Because the devil, if you could get this through feeling, then you know the devil is going to trump your feeling. Because he's the one that gets us all messed up in our emotions. And he's the one that brings that. That ain't even of God. That's evil too. That's not of God. Feelings about something. Because that's sensual, earthy. It's of the lower nature. Right? So everything that God does, he does through the faith principle. And that's why faith comes by hearing. And that's why the Holy Spirit trumpets these truths in little bits at a time. So you can grasp it because it's your faith that has to be used. It's my faith that I've got to use. It's just not going to get on me because I just go to church where they talk about it. I have to accept it when it comes, and then I got to put it to work by faith. And then it begins to be developed in me. Those virtues of God begin to flow out of my life. Because I'm God-like, hallelujah. I said I'm God-like. Hallelujah. Verse 20. For the creation or nature was subjected to frailty, to futility, condemned to frustration. Not because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of him who subjected it. Yet with hope, with the hope that nature, that creation itself, will be set free from its bondage to decay and corruption and gain entrance into the glorious freedom of who? Who is it going to be? Who is nature itself going to enter into the glorious freedom of? God's children, of you and me. Nature is going to enter into the glorious freedom that is ours. 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 Look how far man has fallen. Some men are trying to worship nature. Mother Earth. Earth didn't have me. Huh? Uh-uh. I'm God's idea. Well, we all came from dirt. Well, whose idea is dirt? Does dirt have the ability to have an idea? Huh? If it did, you wouldn't be walking on it. It's tired of you walking around on it all the time. Amen. If anybody's complaining about you being overweight, it's the dirt. Every time you go out in your front yard, oh, Lord, here he come again. Oh, Lord. Maybe that's why we have so many earthquakes. Tremors. Oh, Jesus. Let's see. Since we know that the whole creation of irrational creatures, verse 22, has been moaning together in the pains of labor until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves too. So you see, he's making a difference there. He's showing you that it's nature, it's creation, it's nature, and you, you're two different things. It says, but we ourselves too, who have and enjoy the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, a foretaste of the blissful things to come, groan inwardly as we wait for the redemption of our bodies. The redemption of our bodies. What? From sensuality and the grave, which will reveal, right? When we're redeemed from that, it's going to reveal our adoption, our manifestation as God's sons. See, there's a day and a time when it will be revealed that we are indeed God's sons. Now, at this particular point, it's going to be something that is going to be clearly seen, whereas today it's not. It'll be clearly seen in the world that we are who we are. Today is up for argument because of the compromise that so many Christians are living in. See, the reason why there's not a whole lot of power flowing like it should be flowing is because we're messed up in our minds. We're messed up in our understanding. See, what did we start off this a week or so ago? At issue is the change of mind. See, at issue is this whole matter of a change of mind, having the mind of Christ. Christ never, ever lost sight of the fact that he was God and he was God's son and what he was capable of doing. He never lost sight of the fact that he was man and that he was created just like you and I, came through the flesh, to the birth canal of his mother, that he came into the world just like we did. He never lost sight of that. But he never lost sight of the will of God. And he was able to do exactly what this message is challenging us to do. And that is to walk around here as truly a human being, but walk around here like one that is God-like. Amen. And begin to live like we're God-like. Begin to talk like we're God-like. Begin to do whatever we do in the world because we're God-like. See, that has to be done. That's something that we have to practice. See, and the church has got that responsibility to do that and lead the rest of God's creation to it. We are the light of the world. We are. We are the light of the world. We have the answers for all of the world's dilemma. But it just doesn't work because we have it. It only works because we live it out. Amen. It's the only way that if Jesus hadn't lived out what God destined him to, then he wouldn't have accomplished what he did for us. He could have come and said all he wanted to say about him being God's son, fulfilling the scripture, and this day is manifested in your sight and in your ears. He could have said that, but if he had not have lived it, nothing would have been accomplished. And he was indeed who he said he was, but he had to do some stuff, didn't he? Yeah. Right? I mean, in our present thinking, he had to overcome everything that we deal with. Yeah. He had to. If he hadn't have overcome all of it, he would not have completed his mission. He had to overcome the sickness. He had to overcome all of the sensual issues. He had to overcome all of the mind issues. He had to overcome everything that you and I deal with that we seem to think that we can't. Yeah. I'm telling you, buddy, you got whole schools of thought on this out there to the point that we have got psychologists who are not doing what they're doing based on biblical principles, trying to understand the human mind and to help somebody to overcome something with human principles that they will also mix with some type of drug. That is so contrary to the ways of God. You know what? If you want to look at it from, I better not say that, I'll get in trouble. I would get in so much trouble. So I'm not going to say it. If you want to know, you can come to me and ask me. Somebody said, just turn the mic off and say it. Well, when the mic is off, I'll tell you, okay? Where was I? 23? Huh? Okay, verse 24. For in this hope we were saved. I mean, what hope were we saved? Did you actually have this in mind when you were being brought to the reality of God? Did you have verse 23 in mind? And not only creation, but we ourselves too, who having enjoyed the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, foretaste and blissful things to come, groan inwardly and wait for the redemption of our bodies from sensuality in the grave, which will reveal our adoption and manifestation as God's sons. For in this hope we were saved. You hadn't heard that, had you? You hadn't heard that. But you see, Paul's the preacher here now. He's talking to groups that he started and all this kind of stuff. So he's giving them a thorough gospel. See, he's not just talking about going to hell, is he? He's not a fiery preacher just with hellfire and damnation. And you better get saved or you're going to burn. Right? Don't forget that deep fried revelation now. It'll help you. He's not just preaching that. But he's giving them a thorough gospel. Giving people something to think about. Whew. I mean, you know, in this day and age in which we live, how much more apropos is that message today? When we got so much supernatural stuff in our media and television and the movies, they are, you know, making deities out of vampires and all of this foolishness. And there are whole groups, cult groups that follow this stuff as though they're worshiping. How much more do we need the gospel to really be preached and to be preached thoroughly today? People need to realize what the truth is. And we need to get away from, you know, just hellfire and damnation. I mean, a lot of these folks don't even view hell like you do as a Christian. Some of them want to go. Some of them want to go. Some of them believe that we've been lied to in the Bible and that really Satan is the one that's Lord. And Jesus is kind of like Jacob stole it from Esau. Huh? That's what they believe. And they believe that when Lucifer comes back, he's going to straighten everything out and that Jesus is going to help him. Come on now. I mean, that's out there in the world today. Because we don't know that, because all we're believing for is our light bill and, or a wife or a husband. And that's all we can think about. So we just got that confession going every morning and every evening and every night. Because we want to recognize that woman when she comes down that dusty road. Or we want to recognize that man when he comes on that white horse. And that's really all that really matters. God wants me to be happy. Huh? Or that Harley Davidson. Huh? And here we are. We're born again for the purposes of God. And we're trying to turn it all around and say it's all about me. And if I don't get this, I'm not fulfilled. That's a lie. That's a lie. I think some of the people that's trying the hardest to get married are the ones that God wants to be single. I was trying not to be married. He said, hey, no, you're going to get married. I didn't want to be married. I honest to God didn't want to be. And he turned it around for me. So that's the key. If you really want to be married, start confessing that you don't want to be. Then you get married. Just start saying, I don't want to be married. I'm free. Happy. Then God said, all right, now I can do something with you. Boy, it's
quiet in here. Must be a lot of single people in here this morning. Where was I? Get to a married verse then. All right, let's see. Good to me. Lord have mercy. I'm in chapter 9. Help me, Jesus. Okay. Verse 24. For in this hope we were saved. But hope, the object of which is seen, is not hope. For how can one hope for what he already sees? But if we hope for what is still unseen by us, we wait for it with patience and composure. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. Now I'm going to show you something here in a minute. Just hang on. For we do not know what prayer to offer, right? Nor how to offer it worthily as we ought, based on what we're hearing. That makes a lot of sense, don't it? Not based on the way that you used to think about it. I'm talking about based on this revelation of the veil, based on the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ that we're supposed to be drawing from that has to do with God's eternal plan for our salvation. How do you pray about things like that? We don't know how to pray for what we ought, as we ought. But the Holy Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf. Wow. With unspeakable yearnings. See, if you knew how to speak, you would speak it. Right? And groanings too deep for utterance. He goes and he does that for us. This is so spiritual. Man, can you imagine? This is a surefire way for us to get to where we need to be via the Holy Spirit praying for us, because the devil can't interpret what he's saying. Amen. The devil can't interpret what he's saying to God and has no way of knowing how to stop what he can't see. Oh, man, that's good stuff there. Look at verse 27. And he who searches the hearts of men knows, and that's a capital he, so you know he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints, according to and in harmony with God's will. I know you think your will is more important. But here's where the Holy Spirit's praying. Here's where the Holy Spirit is interceding. Boy, now you're gonna see something in a minute now. It's gonna really get your attention that you hadn't seen before. Of course, I know you hadn't seen that either, but you're going to see something here that you really hadn't seen. Now watch this. Verse 28. Everybody likes this scripture. Get comfort from it because of what we're going through. Jesus, I'm a Christian. And we are assured and know that God being the partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good. Because we know Jeremiah, 29 and 11. You know this is working. For good too, and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. Watch this. In light of what we are learning now, in light of what we have just touched on in the scripture, look at verse 28 again. For we are assured to know that God being what? In what?
In their labor. My labor is supposed to be in what I've been talking about this morning. That's the only thing God can partner with us in. Not in you just falling into something saying, oh, it's going to work out for my good. Huh? My own actions lead me to something stupid. And then I try to encourage myself to say, well, it's going to work out for my good because I love God. He said God partners with you in a particular kind of labor. And in that labor, whatever you go through, it's going to work out for your good. Do you see it? I'm telling you, there's a lot of people claiming scripture and don't even know what they're doing. Huh? How many of you is going to use that as a promise for our Wednesday night Bible dialogue? There goes one hand right over there. Right? Now you got to step back and punt again and make sure you got it together before you can use that. Right? You got to recognize if I'm going to use that as a promise, then I better engage myself in the same labor that God's involved in. And this ain't just something I throw out there because I got trouble in my life and I'm going through something that I brought on myself. Reaping what I've sown, and then I'm going to say, oh, it's going to work out for my good because I love God. Not necessarily so. Some things that you reap aren't working out for your good. It's just the result and the outcome of the foolishness that I did. And it ain't productive in the kingdom at all. And that was worth coming to church for this morning right there, wasn't it? Amen. Y'all gonna take me out to lunch this evening? I don't mean physically, but are you going to talk about me at lunch this evening? Am I going to be around your dinner table with every bite? Amen. Please, don't chew on me so hard, all right? Come on. I'm just like a string bean. You don't take that much to chew me up. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand. Man, just think of it, that God knew me like that. He knew me like that. He knew you like that. He also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness. God likeness. That he might become the firstborn among many brethren. Now look. This is the labor that God's involved in. This is the labor that we're supposed to be partnering with God in. Our God likeness. We're supposed to be laboring in this. Not, you know, so many Christians just, this, that, and the other, and just put everything down and just literally disqualify themselves from their own inherited blessing of being like God because of foolishness and, you know, false humility. Amen. Nobody can be like Jesus. You didn't read that in the Bible. You didn't read that in the Bible. We're supposed to be conformed to his image. That's what the Bible says. Amen. And we just fight it because of our veiled religion. Right? I'll admit it takes courage to accept this.
That's
right. See? Because we're dealing with layers of flesh.
Right.
Yes. Amen? Layers upon layers. It ain't got nothing to do with you being overweight. Just get off of that.
Amen.
This is generational layers of sensual living.
Right.
It was handed down to you. Handed down to you. See? But something has been done about it. Life is in the blood. Right? And when you got saved, you got a blood transfusion. You did. You did. See? But the reality and the outcome and the effect of what that blood will do in you is based on your thinking. Because you think about and in line with beliefs. So you can have the blood transfusion, believe something that's contrary to the will of God, and still be messed up. Still be messed up. See? Everything's got to harmonize with you now that you're a born-again Christian. You've got to get everything in harmony. See? It's not that big a deal to see this, but it takes works to bring it to that place. So that there's a symphony in you. Symphony with you and God. Harmonizing with you and God. Verse 30. And those whom he thus foreordained. Some people don't like that language. But I like that I was foreordained. I do. I mean, you know, I don't believe I'd be here today if I wasn't foreordained. In God's choice, you know, he made a choice for me. He made a choice for you. And I believe that's why you're born again. Now, I believe he chooses that all men be saved. There's no doubt about that. But he also knows those that's going to choose him. Amen. He knows who's going to work with him. God knows everything. He better, or I'm not serving the right God. Huh? I want to serve a God who's all powerful. Right? And you have to just expand your thinking if you're going to see him as he really is. Because he knows what's going on every dusty planet in the whole universe. But he looks past that, even though he has full knowledge and comprehension in it, knows every particle of dirt that resides everywhere in the world. He knows exactly what's going on it, the temperature on it, and everything. And yet he looks past that to see where I am. Because he's more concerned about me, even though he's got all knowledge about all things at the same time. I can't wait for you to run, I'll run for you. Glory to God. Woo, Lord Jesus. And you got to encourage some people to serve God. What in the world the matter with you? Dear Lord. Yeah, I'm glad I was foreordained. You can fight with it all you want to. I'm going to enjoy it. Why are you fussing about it? Hallelujah. Amen. He also called, verse 30, and those whom he called, he also justified. Amen. I know you don't like it because I'm justified, but I'm just as justified as I can be. I'm acquitted. I'm made righteous. I know you don't like me and you heard stuff about me that ain't true, but you can't get over it anyway. But I've been made righteous. Right? Putting them in the right standing with himself. I know you've heard it. I know people warn you about me. But as far as God is concerned, I'm in right standing with him. And he likes me, whether you do or not. Hallelujah! And those whom he justified, still talking about me, he also glorified. Whew, that's really making me mad now, isn't it? Raise them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. That's another way of saying that I'm God-like. Or you can just call this the God-like service if you want to. We're just God-like. Well, what then shall we say to all this? Well, I tell you, it takes me a long time, but I could say a lot about it. I mean, I got a lot to say about it. It's going to take me a long time. Thank God he gave me a church, gave me somewhere to come to preach. Lord, I'd be hurting. Oh, I'd be hurting.
Thank you, Jesus. If God is for us, who can be against us? Oh, that's shouting ground right there. If God is for us, who can be against us? In other words, whatever it is, it ain't got a chance. Hallelujah. It ain't got a chance. Verse 32, and I got to close. I'm getting close to closing anyway. He who did not withhold, verse 32, or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? Well, I know you like to take that scripture out of context and use it for all of the other things that you want. The Mercedes, you know, the new house, the new boat. Will he not give us all other things through Christ? And just use it out of context. But if you stay in context, he's talking about your God-likeness. Huh? Now, Jesus had so much influence, he was able to use somebody's boat.
Amen.
Huh? Isn't that right? You're so concerned about getting your boat when you could be using somebody else. Huh? And let them take the thing home and wax it and keep it clean. Huh? I'm trying to get my faith out there so great that I won't be just using a boat. I want to use somebody's yacht.
Hallelujah.
Wouldn't you like to go with me, you and your husband, me and my wife, and have tea on the yacht? Huh? How about a cruise liner? Huh? And just take a whole bunch of people with us. And just use it for the glory of God to give it back to Norwegian, whoever. Just give it back to the Norwegians. You know what I'm saying? The vacation outlet. Just let them have it back. They can have it. All I got to do is use it for service. Jesus just had a service on the water. Ooh, and caught some fish. We can have us a harvest on the water. Ooh, glory to God. I'm talking about all other things. You know, you got to get past that stuff that you want. That stuff's supposed to be added to you. He ain't even talking about that. Not even talking about that. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect when it is God who justifies? That is, who puts us in right relation to himself. Who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God, who acquits? That makes sense. That's not right. Who is there to condemn us? Will Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who died, or rather who was raised from the dead? Who is at the right hand of God actually pleading as he intercedes for us? Hallelujah. Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? I like to see the fool that tries. You're a complete fool. You're going to try to get between me and God? Huh. Shall suffering, now watch this. Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation, shall it? I should be hearing some no's.
No.
Or calamity or distress?
No.
Or persecution or hunger?
No.
Or destitution or peril?
No.
How about sword?
No.
No. And not no because you believe it, but no because God said it.
You got to see the difference between the absolute and the promise. Some of us want to stand on a promise. Oh, God, don't leave me. Don't leave me. Now, wait a minute. Then what did he say? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, why you want to throw that in God's face? Don't leave me. You put it in a song. I have to watch that. He never failed me yet. Why would you want to put yet on that? When he said he would never fail you. You got, well, we just like it sounds good in the church. It sounds good in that song. You can't change the song. It's been copyrighted. It's in Washington. I don't care if it's in Timbuktu. He ain't gonna fail you. Using my best French, he ain't gonna fail you. Even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. I mean, this is so strong. You could even put God loved us in past tense and it's still working. E.D. You know, I like that because that stands for Ed, and my first name's Edward. Love Ed. See, I'm all in the scripture. Can't get me out of the Bible, brother. All right? Verse 38. For I am persuaded beyond doubt, am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet and give God some praise. Give him some glory. Give him some honor. He deserves it.